This is not easy. To you that don't know, I fell about 3 weeks ago. And I'm still suffering, still got some of the pain from it. But actually, it's the third time that I have fallen. The first time was when I had been to church on Wednesday night and I have to shut the chicken lot door. And coming back, I stumbled on a root and fell in the pine straw. And sort of face forward, but I turned my face. The first thing I did when I lay on the ground there was to thank the Lord. I did that right off because I just had a feeling that the devil was behind it. He had made me fall. I don't have any scripture to back that up. I'm just telling you my experience. And when I got up, I finally got up, and I said, "Devil, if you're behind this, you're not going to make me not serve my God or not praise him for what took place." So I did. And it took me 6 weeks to get over it. All that 6 weeks, I praised God through it all. I knew that he was, you know, with me, and things happen, and we don't blame God for it. I thought to myself, maybe he's speaking to me. I need to listen to him. The second time I fell, it was at night. I had been up to the bathroom, coming back to bed, and I have a little lamp that I had. It was time to turn it off, and I just went around my bed, turned it off, but I had something at the foot of my bed that I stumbled over and fell on my left side this time. And I lay there. The first thing I did was praise God. I decided if the devil's behind it, I'm not going to give him any credit. In fact, I talked to him and tell him. I said, "You might mean this to make me not trust my God because he's always with me, but you can't stop me from praising him for it." Okay, we're to the third time that I fall. I just got up from my watching a ball game on TV. I was going to check the front door, make sure that it was locked. And I fell on my right side. Now, this is front, left, this time on the right side. And, of course, Aaron heard me fall, so he came to help me up. But the first thing I did again was to praise the Lord. And I said, "Devil, you're not going to get at me, not through this. I don't want you to find any place in me by doing this to where you get any credit whatsoever." So I just lift it to the Lord. But this time, I pulled a muscle in the back, and it was very painful. I don't know if any of you have pulled a muscle in your back, but I happen to be one of those people that can't take strong medication for pain, Darvocet, Percocet, those things. So I didn't even go to the doctor with it as much as it hurt. I took 4 ibuprofen it several times. And that helped, but it was very, very painful, and so painful that I begged the Lord to touch me, to take away the pain. He didn't take it away. Maybe the pills helped a little bit. But I eventually got to the place where I said, maybe I am fellowshipping the sufferings that my Jesus went through. And through that, it gave me a little more faith, and I was able to go through it. But you know what? I just praise the Lord. I've always had good health, so it's unusual for me to have these things. But I know that we have an enemy.
Praise God. I believe you heard from the Lord this morning. I just wanted to add a little something that came to my mind as Phil was speaking today. It's a passage in James chapter 1. We're familiar with it, but I just feel like it flows with what's being said, and I think maybe emphasizes what the Lord's really making the point of here this morning. So in James chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed." So you see the two different pieces of what Phil was talking about this morning. The whole reason it's even possible is because there are desires in here to start with. There are evil desires because we live in these human bodies, this fallen nature. So there are vulnerabilities. There are openings there. That's where it starts. But that's not all there is to it. He's tempted when by his own evil desire, what? He is dragged away. Now you've got something external that's doing the dragging. So you, something's dragging on that vulnerability that was already there. And so that's the picture here of what's going on. But here's where the purpose is, the one doing the dragging. Here's the goal. After desire has conceived, so that desire was there but not acted on, then something starts dragging on it and it gets given into, it's acted on. That has been conceived, and now what's the result of that? It's sin. When desire has conceived, that's what we call sin. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, but what's the long-term goal? That was just one little incident, but where is this going in the big picture? Sin, when it is full-grown, gives birth to death. This is the picture. He's dragging on these things that are there, and his long-term goal is to destroy and to cause harm. You know, I was thinking about the passage she started with there in Ephesians 6. It pictures this aspect of spiritual warfare like an enemy who's firing flaming arrows. Right? They're not just arrows, they're flaming arrows. It's like what he talked about. There's a wisdom, there's a life, there's a power in that, that if you don't do anything about it, it begins to spread and grow and consume and destroy, right? That's the picture. And he told us there that the shield of faith is something that's able to quench that wisdom. It's able to quench that fire. But if you read the whole passage there, there's a lot of things that talk about our armor, right? Our helmet, our breastplate, and our shield, which is something you have to actually pick up and you know, hold in front of something. But it also talks about the sword of the Spirit. That's our weapon to hit back with. And I feel like that's what the Lord's really emphasizing today. One is recognizing what's going on, and of course, quenching that. That's step one. But also not just to be satisfied with not giving in, but to take the sword of the Spirit and hit back. That's the full picture of spiritual warfare. It's recognizing what's going on, recognizing where we stand with God, actively holding up the shield and saying no, but then it's to pick up that sword and hit back with what is true and what is right. And I feel like that's the emphasis the Lord is making to us here this morning, and I appreciate it because it's timely. It's probably never not timely, honestly, because this is the world we live in, these are the bodies we live in, but I believe he's got a purpose in it. And I just wanted to think, you know, end with that scripture over there. We know it so well, it's in 1 John, but it's good to remind ourselves of this. He's talking about, you know, he just says here, I'll start there in verse maybe 2, where he says, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Why? Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. There's no hole the enemy has gotten that is too much for God to deal with. The one that is in us is greater than the one that's in the world, period. Do we not have the scripture that says the weapons of our warfare are not natural, they're not carnal, but they are mighty through God to what end? The pulling down of strongholds, demolishing strongholds that he has established. So we're not stuck where we are. We're not ever hopeless. We're not ever defeated. He has given us weapons that are able to do what needs to be done in our lives. And I believe he's ministering faith this morning to use them. Praise God. Amen.